sense.
I heard there was a secret chord David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do ya? Well, it goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, and the major lift. The baffled king composing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Yes, indeed, Canada, welcome back. It is yet another week of Northern Exposure. I don't know about you, but I certainly missed doing this show. It's always exciting for me, a lot of fun. It's funny, though, I can never get used to listening to that introduction, especially right when I get my name introduced. It can't shake that feeling that it sounds just like Jigsaw out of that Saw movie. I don't know about you, but kind of creeps me out sometimes just listening to it. Anyway, moving right along, today's introduction music, for those who don't know, that is Season 9 American Idol winner Lee DeWise doing his version of Hallelujah, a song that I quite enjoy. I really enjoy the original. Katie Lang did a fantastic job with it as well. However, Lee brings something fresh, new, and exciting to that version, which I found very appealing. So I hope you enjoyed it. If you really enjoy it, you can certainly find Lee DeWise in iTunes or through any other MP3 channel, I'm sure, where you'll be able to download his music and certainly that version of the song. The end of the show, I will close out with the remainder of it. I was going to give you another 45 seconds, but I thought, it's the end of the show. Might as well give you the rest of the song, period. So I hope you enjoy that. Now, jumping right into the business at hand, we normally go right to Around the Horn, and that will be no different this week as I highlight five articles or something to that effect that that I think are worthy of attention and certainly should get your reading attention. So let's jump right into that. And I'm going to start right off with the first article by Danster. He wrote an article called Danster's V2 Help for When You Need It. This is a great article for me, in my opinion, because I'm seeing a lot of people starting to capitalize on the V2 article writing opportunity, and I'm certainly no different. I'm going to run a series of articles that will speak to V2, but I'm going to take a look at it from an evolutionary perspective and not so much the game mechanics piece. However, Danster does an incredible job of exploring the game mechanics piece of V2. So if you haven't seen this article, you definitely want to check it out. I read through it and I got a lot of great information out of it, especially those of us who are currently beta testing V2. If you haven't jumped in yet, what Danster writes in here is a great opening salvo in terms of getting comfortable with the nuances of V2. So if you have not checked out that article, I strongly suggest you read it. Just look up his I'm assuming it's a him. Look up his name, Danster, D-A-N-S-T-E-R. You can find that article in his newspaper. Secondly, I want to hit on an article that was written by Ace Blazer for the Ministry of Education. Now, all you new players and all you existing players who are perhaps mentoring or assisting new players, please take note of this. This is probably the most important article I've seen in some time. It is the new and improved New Citizen Guide. It is printed in both official languages. It is produced by the Ministry of Education. This is an article that you definitely want to bookmark. It will be embedded in every Northern Exposure podcast. It will be embedded in every ECBC Radio 1 podcast and article. Again, if you are a new player and you are looking to get your head wrapped around what's going on in V1, this is must-read material. Do not miss this. You definitely want to check this out. If you are an existing player who already knows all the ropes, but perhaps you're mentoring or assisting a newer player or you're in that position where you may be assisting or mentoring new players, this is definitely an article you want to take note of, because you'll want to pass that information on to those individuals. So again, look up the organization or citizen name, Ministry of Education, and you will find the new citizen guide. This is phenomenal. Ace Blazer and his ministry should be given incredible kudos for the amount of work that went into this. It's phenomenal. Third on my list of articles that I want to touch on, and I would be remiss, and I feel somewhat guilty of talking about this article. However, 186.7 Confederation Station has launched. If you haven't already seen the daily requests and dedication articles that I have been producing myself, you can find them by looking up my my newspaper. It is obviously the same newspaper that has led you to this podcast. 186.7 Confederation Station can be found by linking to one of the newspaper articles that has the link in it. Very easy to find. It is a live streaming broadcast of essentially an iPod on steroids, is the best way to put it, because it's a very eclectic music mix. It has collected close to 50 or so requested songs by eRepublic players, so the playlist continues to expand and continues to become even more eclectic as it begins to reflect the musical tastes of eCanadian citizens. So if you have not checked out 186.7 Confederation Station, I strongly encourage you to do so. And I'm also excited to announce that our very own George Kirk is going to give us an hour of his time. And I'm hoping, George, hint, hint, that this becomes a weekly feature. George is going to have a one-hour show of his own being broadcast on 186.7. It will be a combination of music and political, a biting political satire, I would imagine, as only George can deliver. For those who are wondering why George Kirk, or is this something I want to tune into, those of you who don't know, George is actually a DJ himself. So you can be sure that the quality of the material you're going to hear will be well worth tuning in. I, for one, am very excited about what I've heard so far and seen of this particular program, and I'm very excited to have it joining 186.7 Confederation Station. So keep your eyes open for that as that program gets launched. And again, George, I hope this becomes a weekly thing, because this sounds really exciting. The fourth article I want to touch on was written by my good friend and fellow Writers Guild of Canada colleague, Adashko. In the announcement of the Angry Mob Man Marius Corleone Award. And I think this is a great initiative. If you have not yet seen this article, go and look up Adashko's newspaper, The Spiral. Not only is it a great newspaper in general, it is a WGC newspaper. Adashko is a great writer, and this initiative is absolutely fantastic. It should get all the press that it can get. Reshout it, talk about it, you know, get the word out. This is a great initiative. The Angry Mob Man Marius Corleone Award will be a bi-monthly award presented to the e-Canadian showing dedication and perseverance in his presence in the game despite various real-life adversities he or she might face. And I think this is a phenomenal idea, especially given the circumstances of some of the events that we've recently experienced. I think this is a great opportunity to recognize those individuals who continue to be a part of this game and make it the place that it is to be, despite real-life challenges or adversity. So, again, please help us get as much press for this as we possibly can. I think it's a great initiative. Adashko should be given a pat on the back for this. It's a phenomenal idea, and I think it's well worth running with. Last but not least, in light of what happened to Tyler F. Durden, or I guess I should say Chris Day, as we now know him, although for me I will always know him as TFD, because that's the person that I knew was TFD. There are a number of tribute articles out there. To highlight one over another felt to me a little inappropriate. So instead, I'm simply going to say my fifth article choice for this week would be all of the TFD tribute articles that have been filtering into the news media. there is no doubt in my mind that almost everybody in eCanada knows who TFD was, and these articles will be no stranger to you. Definitely give them a read through. It's encouraging and it's healing, and it's the catharsis of reading through these tributes that just help with that process. We all miss him. We all had our probably butted heads a few times with him. I know I did, but that doesn't change the fact that at the end of the day, a real life person has passed. Irregardless of the character he was in the game, a real person has passed. And we owe it to the real person. We owe it to Chris Day to read through the tribute articles and to share our comments as they may help to comfort and console his family. So, TFD, a.k.a. Chris Day, I know you're up in heaven giving him hell. I hope you're looking down on us and smiling broadly at the tributes that are going on. So, okay. I'm going to move on now to news for noobs, because I don't want to dwell on the negative. And I thought it only appropriate that this week's news for noobs was basically to go and check out the new player guide. This is an outstanding piece of literature. There is nothing that I can talk about in this podcast that will even come close to rivaling the usefulness of that article. I know I spoke about it in Around the Horn. I'm going to harp on it because it's a great article. So if you are a new player, as I said, I will continue to do the News for Noobs sections of this podcast, but I will encourage you strongly to go and check out the Ministry of Education's New Citizen Guide. You definitely want to go check that out. That is well worth your time. Hometown Heroes. Normally at this point in the show, I would be highlighting one individual e-Canadian and highlighting their accomplishments. It's interesting because I've already done TFD as a hometown hero. As a show of, I guess, respect for the, some would say, heroic player that TFD was, I'm going to say for the heroic decision that the man himself made to give his own life to save that of his companion. There is no greater hero in this game than the actions of the real man. I'm not going to profile a hometown hero in this particular episode. Akin to having a flag at half-mast, to wearing a black armband, to pausing for a moment of silence. We will silence hometown heroes for this week in memoriam of Chris Day, in memoriam of Tyler F. Durden, and in recognition of the selfless act and decision that he made to save his companion and to put his own life on the line. So, out of respect for him, we will not be profiling a hometown hero this week. Rapid fire. I love the rapid fire section of this show because it gives me a great opportunity to fire off 10 questions that, random questions, of course, something fun. You never quite know what you're going to get. It's kind of like playing with alphabet soup. Every spoonful is a little bit different, or perhaps you're an alphabets kind of person. Again, every spoonful is a little bit different. You never quite know what you're going to get. And this week, I thought, got to find an interesting character to do rapid fire with. And I chose Duke Leto. And I sent off to Duke 10 questions, and he was very quick to reply. And I thought, if I'm ever going to get some interesting questions and some interesting answers, Duke Leto would definitely be the guy to ask. So on that note, I'll give you the question, and then I will give you the answer that that Sir Duke supplied me. So question number one, I asked Duke Leto, Dr. Seuss or Dr. Kevorkian? And in typical Duke Leto fashion, he replies, "Dr. Seuss, because I only believe in assisted suicide if the person is in extreme pain or an inevitable death. I also believe that doctors should not perform such notorious operations which conflict with their job, Dion. I prefer my green eggs and ham over that any day." Green eggs and spam, my friend. That's a great answer, though. I asked him, given the choice, money or wisdom? And Duke says, wisdom, because you can think of a foolproof way to get rich quick. Good answer. Brilliant. A lot of people would have just said money, but good way to dance around that one and come up with a win-win situation there. Good for you. I ask in question number three, which flavor Kool-Aid do you have the greatest respect for? And he says, purple, because it has made a funny stereotype and killed hundreds because of Jimmy Jones. Way to go, purple. I asked him, what size shoes do you wear? Size 8, 9. But he follows up, I just wish that clothing companies can decide on what is a proper size, damn it. And there's absolute truth to that, because any woman will tell you this for sure. Sizes are like one person's size whatever is another person's size whatever. So there's a lot of truth to that. Very aggravating, I'm sure, and it's definitely difficult when you have to go shopping for a wife. I've been there, and those of you married people will understand that frustration. And I won't say anything more about that. Question number five. A long walk in the sun or a long walk under the stars? And Duke says, long walk under the stars, because starlight and moonlight is nice and cool and has an enchanting effect. Unlike that big glowing thing in the sky, somebody needs to tell him to turn off the harmful radiation or he's fired. Yep. I don't really know what else I can say to that. Good answer, my friend. I asked Duke, hockey or baseball? And Duke says hockey, because you can get away with hitting a player with the puck. Fair enough. Number seven, dramas or comedies? His answer, I prefer a drama comedy. As long as they get a clear message out and taking some stress off the audience through a couple of jokes, then that is what makes a good drama comedy. An example is MASH. After around season 4-ish. Good point. I'm a big MASH fan myself. I own the entire collection of seasons, and I'm happy to say I've watched it on more than one occasion, because for me, that show never gets old, and I always seem to find something else season after season that certainly catches my interest and keeps me dialed in and interested. Question 8. Who is your childhood hero growing up? Duke says, seeing as how I am still growing up, I would say Hawkeye. I know, I'm a MASH fanatic, so sue me. Well, no one's going to sue you for that, trust me. I'm on board with that. He always questioned authority and knew the morality between right and wrong when it comes to humanity during wartime. Good answer. Very intelligent answer, that's for sure. Question number 9. Army, Navy, or Air Force? Duke's answer, Army, because there's less of a chance of you dying in a small and cramped machine which can blow up at any second. Have you seen Das Boot? I could not survive that. And trust me, my friend, I have a little bit of claustrophobia going on. There is no way you would ever, ever catch me in a submarine. This is not going to happen. Question number 10. Chocolate with nuts or chocolate with cream filling? Answer, chocolate with cream filling. Because I have braces, and getting nuts out of my braces is a pain in the ass. Why do I have a feeling that I walked into a slightly homosexual joke? You know, it's funny. I thought about that after Duke answered that, and I thought to myself, yeah, you know what? Somebody somewhere is going to comment on that, and it's going to come back to haunt him. Although, Duke, fear not, I used to wear braces myself, and I can attest to the fact that picking nuts out of your braces is hands down one of the most frustrating experiences ever. So you have my sympathy, my friend. Alrighty, so they said it. We're going to pick the five, well, at least I picked out the five comments I thought were, that, well, at least anyway, they stopped me and made me laugh and gave me a good smile anyway. Maybe not make you laugh as hard as they made me laugh, but I certainly got a good laugh out of them anyway. So here they are. the top five comments that I found posted in other people's articles. Salty Dog comments on JB's article about a throne of swords. JB, I didn't know you were into sharp edges. I mean, I knew you liked to scratch a good itch here and there, but I had no idea you were that into ass play. And somewhere in wherever he is, JB's having a small coronary reading that that article. Definitely, probably having a good smile too, right, to go right along with it. I saw another comment written by Sarah Schaefer talking about Pimp Dollars and the 666 Canadian. The comment goes, "I know what Pimp did with his $666 Canadian. Bananas and blow. Oh, bananas and blow. Stuck in his cabana, living on bananas and blow." only Pimp Dollars could get away with the whole, you know, bananas and blow thing. Only Pimp Dollars, because of the whole image of the pimp and, you know, the hookers and the blow and all this other stuff. It seems to work. It made me laugh. I hope Pimp got a good laugh out of it too, because it was definitely be funny. In regards to a new award that's being put out, Tim BC writes, "Can I be the Canadian idiot?" Tim, I don't know. I almost have to bite my tongue not to follow up that comment with something else. But I got to tell you, my friend, I got a real good laugh out of that. I thought, it's like a loaded question. It's one of those things where you know you want to answer, but you just got to bite your tongue. And Only Adams quickly followed that up with another comment that I found in a different article. I had to laugh because Salty Dog usually comes up with some really fast and cutting remarks to other people's articles. And it was funny that Only Adams came back with one of his own. He says, "And I always thought that Salty spit." You need to go and check out the article by James McNamara, the Penguin, to see why that comment's relevant. But I got to tell you, after reading the article and then reading that comment, I was definitely howling pretty good in my chair. Last but not least, Pimp Dollars makes a comment and says, "As the national supervillain, they are obliged to blame me for everything." Oh, Pimp, you know what? I love you, my friend. We don't always see eye to eye, and that's totally cool. But I got to tell you, you make me laugh sometimes. I don't hate you. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with being a supervillain. Everybody needs to have a supervillain. Everybody needs to have a superhero. And that's just the way it works. And that's totally cool, my friend. You embrace that role and you do it really well. And don't let anybody tell you differently. So it's all good. Moving right along to this and that, and this is just an opportunity for me to take a couple of minutes and talk about something that interests me. And in this particular case, I'm going to talk a little bit about the V2 arrival. As we're all seeing a number of articles circulating about V2 and how it's different, how it changed, how it's going to make things a lot more different from what we know in V1. I'm going to say that having had the opportunity to beta test V2, it's definitely different. And you know what? Anybody that says, "Oh, it's different," it's just, of course it's different. It's a whole other format of the game. If it wasn't different, we'd all be going like, what's the point? It has its good things and it has its things that are questionable. There is definitely a greater feel to the pay for play aspect of it. Now, that's not to say that you have to pay to play. But there is definitely truth to the fact that those who are really good at hoarding gold and making money and running companies and folks who are, I guess, the richer e-Canadians will definitely have the leg up on the middle to poor Canadians, which in a lot of ways really reflects real life. The rich will get richer. They will become more powerful. They'll become more dominant. While the middle class and the lower class will struggle to get by and do their best, but certainly will not enjoy some of the perks and benefits that will come to our richest e-Canadians. So in that respect, there's a very strong social stratification that's going to take place in V2 that's different from what we're seeing right now. There's a little bit of stratification in V1, but V2 certainly emphasizes the class system that we're going to definitely see taking hold Again, where you'll have the haves and the have-nots. Some of the other things with V2 that I think are very interesting. There's a lot of talk about how do you stay interested in a game like eRepublik, where it's a web or a browser-based game. How do you keep the interest level up? And I think the admins have done a great job in terms of enhancing the interest level, because now there's a lot more strategic thinking going on. The days of two-clicking are going to come to an end, because it's just not possible to two-click and survive in that game. You're going to have to place thought into how you divide up those 24 hours that you are allotted each and every day, and that's going to require you to do some thinking. You're going to have to do some strategic processing, and I think that's going to keep the interest level higher, because you're going to have to think carefully about the decisions that you make, especially if you are somebody who can't necessarily go around purchasing all the heavy or top number boosters or whatever the case may be. Those people are going to probably enjoy an even greater enjoyment out of the game, because it's going to force them to play smarter. And I think that brings me to another point that Dicey Farley raised in an article that she wrote some time ago, and I remember reading through it and thinking, wow, that's a really interesting position. And I really am seeing this coming to fruition now as I get a chance to beta test V2. Dicey talked about the fact that you're going to basically go from being able to be a jack of all trades to having to focus on one or two particular areas and becoming really good at those areas. And there's a lot of truth to that as I look at the structure of V2 and the way it plays out. It's going to be very much like real life. You can't be an electrician, a plumber, a drywaller, and a flooring person all at the same time. You're going to kind of get pigeonholed into certain trades in certain areas where you're going to be able to specialize, and specialization will definitely be the calling card of V2. So, again, going to require some more strategic thinking. What specialty do you want to go in? And this is going to be especially true for the Canadian Armed Forces, who are going to have to make some very strategic decisions of their own in terms of how they divide up their fighting force. And it's going to lead to some very interesting things. So, again, with the arrival of V2, I think we're going to see a greater level of interest. We're going to see the end of the two-clicking era. We're going to see a class system evolve. Whether or not we see knives being thrown between the classes, I guess will remain to be seen. If it's anything like real life, there's certainly going to be some very interesting disputes between the haves and the have-nots. It'll be interesting to see how our government manages that situation, in that now they're going to have to deal with a system where some folks are going to be able to really benefit and some won't, and those who can't or don't benefit are likely going to be looking for ways to try and even the playing field. So that'll be very interesting for our government leaders moving forward. And again, as Dicey said, you're going to have to specialize and pick a field and go from there. Last but not least, V2 will herald, I think, a new generation of Canadian Armed Forces people, and those will be strategists. The hex-based fighting that we are about to partake in is certainly going to change everything that we have ever seen in terms of how the CAF does its business. And I think what we're going to see is an evolution in the type of people who occupy leadership roles. I think we're going to see a lot more of the strategic-minded individuals. I think it's conceivable to say that there might be the development of, I guess, in any particular armed forces, whether it's CAF or United States Armed Forces or whatever the case may be, there will be a need to develop a branch of people who are purely strategic thinkers, as we're going to have to give a lot of thought to deployment and how we divide up our resources, and even simple things like the issue of moving tickets now being distance limited. We'll have to make some very interesting decisions around regional wars versus world wars, and whether or not regional wars will become an even bigger concern, because again, the issue of moving tickets and being able to move effectively. So again, a lot of interesting stuff coming down from V2. Those are my initial thoughts. I'm going to do a series of articles on that where I'll kind of explore some of those things a little bit deeper. But nonetheless, that's my this and that section for this week. Closing quote, closing poetry. I've chosen a quote today that kind of, again, not to beat a dead horse, but speaks to the climate and the people that we have lost recently. And this is a military quote. It's often used at Remembrance Day ceremonies. But I think it's very apropos given our current losses and our current potential loss. It goes like this. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. In memory of Chris D., in memory of Maris Corleone, thank you, eCanada. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your listenership. Have a great day. Maybe there's a kind of fire.